We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Same room. Everybody has to work from home. How difficult will that be? Which teams will rise? Which teams will fall to the respective occasions? So that's Vinny Serrato at 6:30. We'll also talk to him about the best possible draft fits for the San Francisco 49ers. Steve Wyche, more of the same, reporter, analyst, host for the NFL Network. He is at 7:30. Now, we've got a lot to get to today. Right before Wyche at 7:15, the latest installment of Bay Area Championship Madness. But right out of the gate, I want to talk about this, boys. The news came down this morning from Adam Schefter of ESPN.com. The big story today is the baseball story. That's coming up at 6:15. But with Schefter and the news breaking now, Hard Knocks, HBO's reality series following around one NFL team during training camp each and every summer, looks like they're going for two. If we have camp this year, which is a big if, but if we have camp this year, they're going to L.A. to follow the Rams and the Chargers. The Rams and the Chargers. Dibs, your boy Jared Goff. You got to be feeling pretty good about that.
Yeah, mildly excited for Jared Goff, although it would have been better for Jared going off the Super Bowl year, not coming off a year where they were unable to make the playoffs, even though they played all right. This is not the year with all the scrutiny and the salary, all the questions he'll be dogged by. But the fact that it's the Chargers and the Rams together, intriguing, yes, but ultimately these not two of the more interesting teams in the league, in my opinion. So it's being met with a bit of a yawn here in Dibleyville in the East Bay.
A bit of a yawn to start with, Dibs.
A bit of a yawn, Joe. Not because I'm tired, but because I'm not impressed by the selection of the two L.A. squads.
But two teams this year, low. Two teams, Rams and Chargers. Is that double the pleasure, double the fun?
I think I look at it separate ways. One is like, hey, look, here's a team in L.A. that needs some help, and that's the L.A. Chargers, just to get that fan base. So it would be great to get behind the scene and see the integral parts and the makings of what they do in order to get the season kicked off. I think you look at L.A., you can kill two birds with one stone due to the fact you got both teams that's going to be sharing a new stadium. They're both opening up a new stadium. They're both going to be in L.A. So it makes it easier for the film crew, most media, most production. Where is it at? In L.A. anyway. So now you look at the cost and you look at efficiency and effectability. I think it's a great idea for as far as money, for as savings, and you get to build two teams, give them some storylines. And I think regardless of whether or not we like it and just enjoy it, you're going to have an opportunity for two teams that struggles in a market, especially L.A., that fans will get to know some of the personalities on their team. J.J. Watt, little brother, plays fullback for the L.A. Chargers. Just little things that you can do. So I like it. I think especially with all the things that are going on, you'll be surprised with the ratings because people are going to have such an appetite for sports as being this long layoff. So not – is it the favorite teams that I'd like to see? I'm with Dan. Probably not. But is it okay? Do I like it? Will I tune in here and now? Absolutely. I will love to.
The thing I'm realizing as I was taking some notes on this morning was I think we all misevaluate this conversation every single year, myself included. I'm guilty of this as well. Every year we have the discussion about, A, who should be on Hard Knocks, and we give out all of our teams. That would be a wonderful. And then, B, the selection's made, and we give out all the reasons why it will or won't be good. The Raiders should have been good. The Raiders went out of their way to make it bad. And that's a great move by Gruden and Mayock. But if you look at the way in which the cameras had access to Raider camp and how little Antonio Brown was in it. Remember, Brown was a major story. That should have dominated the headline start to finish every episode. The Raiders were as boring as can be. And again, this was by design, by Gruden's design, by Mayock's design. Going in, there were a ton of fascinating stories for the Raiders. Last year in Oakland, Chucky, Mayock joining the crew, Antonio Brown freezing his feet. That should have been a great season, and arguably, it may have been the worst season of Hard Knocks ever. It's really up to the teams and the access to make it good. You can take a storyline that doesn't look interesting, say Detroit, say Miami, say Cincinnati, but if the personalities fit, and the teams give HBO plenty of access and little restrictions, the content will be better. So to go into it, in my opinion, I'm trying something different this year. Whether I want to see the Chargers and their personalities or the Rams and their personalities or not, I'm not going to make a judgment on that now, because you could end up getting some great storylines if they give them proper access. A, I do think this is genius because you're opening a new stadium in Los Angeles and you're going to want to promote that to the entire world. If you're Stan Kroenke, you want everybody knowing SoFi Stadium's going to open. B, think of the storyline coming into this. This stadium might not be ready. All right. Everybody associated with the Rams is telling you it might be ready for the start of the season, depending when the start of the season is, because construction's delayed in Los Angeles right now. So you've got two teams that might be in flux for where they're playing, two teams coming off really disappointing seasons, a new quarterback storyline with the Chargers, the Rams and Sean McVay, Mr. Personality. I think this has a lot of potential when you two teams and you have the dynamic of Kroenke owning it and Spanos being the tenant to Kroenke's landlord. Right. I think you could have some nice programming throughout the late summer months as we get set for the start of the season.
I think they need to hire you as a producer, maybe associate producer, maybe a gaffer or a best boy, because you just came up with four great plot lines that, unfortunately, I don't know if they're going to be able to totally flesh out. And this is my biggest issue with Hard Knocks, is that we're in a situation now where there's so much media and so much scrutiny of these teams that they don't open up like they used to. And I think all those things you laid out about access and about personalities and the team's willingness, it seems to me like we're in an era now where teams just don't grant that anymore. Maybe now, amid this coronavirus world in which we live, teams will be more willing to share more stuff, you know, stretch out and offer more content. But to me, over the past few years, it's been more restricted and thus less entertaining.
And that's the key. That's absolutely the key. I think Kroenke would be willing to give access. I think he's going to want this to look good, which, by the way, we're not going to get an NFL schedule until mid-May. Normally, we get it in mid-April. It's been pushed back. Obviously, they got to work on contingency plans. Some of the rumors out there are that they might be working on a 12-game season schedule, a 14-game season schedule. But let me throw this your way, Lo. The idea that is floating around out there is that the Rams are going to open the season at home against none other than old Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys.
Who says no? I think that'd be awesome. You got a defensive guy that's been MVP, defensive MVP. You're talking about what can he bring to the table. So I think the Rams still have a character, a fixture that's going to be there. You think about what he's able to do for the game. And you look at Dallas. Dallas is America's team. I think the Rams in Dallas would be unbelievable to open up that stadium. And I too agree that even though the teams aren't as exciting, the two, L.A. and the Rams, like Dibs was saying, I just think that they still have so many different storylines that you could build on and continue to build upon. You look at what the Chargers are going to be without Phillip Rivers. This is the first time in freaking over a decade that their starting quarterback is a guy that hasn't been there. Think about that. Think about from since freaking 2005. You're talking about a new quarterback, 2004, that's never been a starter in a franchise.
That's crazy.
Is the longest. It is. It's unreal. You think about how long he's been the starting quarterback for that franchise. I think this is a great time for Hard Knocks to be able to just showcase so many different things and the element of the coaches. The ownership, especially if they go out there and they let them, hey, look, let's give something for the fans. You get Kroenke and Spanos going back and forth, actually saying, what do you think being his tenant? How's he treating you? And you could have, it could be like housewives. It could be owners' wives. owners, how these billionaires can go at one another and talk about. So I think I would watch that. I would rather watch that than Hard Knocks to see how this all things plans out. So, yeah, I love it, though, Joe, if those two teams meet up to open day, if you have the Dallas Cowboys and the Rams, I think that would be definitely a hit without a doubt.
Let me tell you why that's going down, and this is just my suspicion, but the Rams want to open up in big fashion. They probably want a Sunday night game to showcase the new stadium. It makes perfect sense. it's the Dallas Cowboys because Jarrah was the one that, A, helped Stan Kroenke buy his way into the NFL, and B, Jarrah was the one that kicked the Raiders out of the L.A. plan and paved the way for the Rams to get in there. So I'd imagine one of the concessions in the back pocket was, I'm going to help you out now, Stan. I'm going to help you out, and I'm not going to ask for a piece of your Walmart stock, but what I am going to ask for is that first game. That first game you get at home, think of my Dallas Cowboys, we're coming in there. I think that makes perfect sense. I think that's Jerry cashing in, finding his way to glob on to the hot new storyline. Let me throw something else your way before I go to Nice Guy. Bob Huggins, head coach of the West Virginia Mountaineers men's college basketball team. He was on the radio this week. I believe the program was the Cook and Joe Show, 93.7, The Fan in Pittsburgh. He said when basketball comes back, college hoops, they should start. They should start the season with March Madness. Would you be down for March Madness to start the next college basketball season?
Yes, but I'm wondering what the stakes would be, because if it's the tournament in, what, November, I guess, is when the season traditionally starts, you would have a tournament, and what, that would be the national champion, and then you just wouldn't play the remainder of the regular season?
I think what you would do is play March Madness. Someone would win that tournament, much like the Maui Invitational and all these other tournaments. Then you, all those games count towards your schedule, and then you get into the schedule, and then you work your way towards the traditional March Madness, which defines the national champion. Would you be down for that?
Yes. Anytime there's a bracket and single elimination, I'm interested. And that goes across almost every single sport, because the idea, low of the must win that everybody wants to throw around willy-nilly, that tournament is, in fact, one of the only true must-win events. So I would love it. Have a preseason NCAA champion. I'm in.
Let me tell you why it'd be so fascinating to me is because of the fact now, even if you let the guys that even got drafted by the NBA come back to play in that tournament.
Wow.
And then after
Then, well, I love
they
it.
Still, then they were still able to play. And then after the tournament's over, bye-bye. All those seniors, they get the exit. And now you start the regular season because guys still can be practicing right now. Who cares? It's going to be interesting anyway. So if you let them come back just to see some of the guys that's in the NBA actually go out there and still play, if some coaches let them say, do you want to go and do this? Give them that right. Give them that. You don't think it'd be the biggest March Madness we've ever seen?
It'd be
legendary.
Wild. It would absolutely
legendary.
Be wild. I don't know if the NBA teams are going to want to risk those injuries, but I think that's
a fascinating
element. One thing I would throw out there, remember, part of March Madness's dominance is its location. Its location is March. It's up against nothing. It's up against spring training, the late semi-meaningless basketball season, the late semi-meaningless hockey season, and virtually no football. If you go ahead and get a March Madness tournament in October and November up against college football, NFL football, and the end of the baseball, basketball, and hockey regular seasons, it's going to be a much tougher time drawing people in, especially if you're not crowning a true champion. Nice Guy Stephen Langford, what's up with the Warriors?
What's up with the Warriors is brought to you by Ceramani Ford, your San Francisco Ford dealer. According to Sham Sharania, the league provided guidelines for its teams regarding pre-draft rules, revealing virtual meetings are allowed amid the coronavirus pandemic. Teams cannot hold more than 2 hours of those virtual meetings with a specific player in a given week and will have as many as four total hours per prospect leading up to the draft. And NBA Commissioner Adam Silver says there will be no decision on a possible return, at least until the end of April. Back to you guys.
You know a story's big when Lo Neal is blowing up your phone late at night with angles on the story. That's what happened last night. That's what happened with Jeff Passan, ESPN, on what Major League Baseball is planning. They're coming for you, everybody. Major League Baseball is coming for you, and we're going to have it next. Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe, Lo, and Dibs.
Way down yonder, yangity yang. Bullfrog jump from bank to bank.
On 95.7, The Game.
Golden State Lumber. As an essential service, their lumber yards are going to remain open from 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday through Friday. Call 855-GSL-YARD or visit goldenstatelumber.com today. Huge story out of Major League Baseball last night, late last night. Jeff Passan, ESPN. Here's the first paragraph. Major League Baseball and its players are increasingly focused on a plan that could allow them to start the season as early as May and has the support of high-ranking federal public health officials who believe the league can safely operate amid the coronavirus pandemic, sources tell ESPN. Essentially, here is the plan in a nutshell. all 30 Major League Baseball teams will relocate to Arizona. In Arizona, you can feasibly put together 13 stadiums with which baseball can be played. Chase Field, which is where the Diamondbacks play. You've got 10 spring training stadiums, which gives you now 11. You've got where Arizona State plays and where you have where Grand Canyon University plays. So that would give you 13 stadiums. There would be no fans, at least at first, until things get situated from a testing and health perspective. Now, this is a big issue because Major League Baseball, believe it or not, the largest proportion of its annual revenue is the gate sales. $10 billion per year, that would be gone, but you would still have baseball. Players, coaching staffs, and essential personnel would be sequestered at local Arizona hotels. Federal officials at the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, are supportive of this. The way it would work is you get 2 to 3 weeks of training camp taking place in May. You would move to an electronic strike zone to allow umpires sufficient distance from players. No mound visits. The catcher can't go to the mound. The coaches can't go to the mound. 7-inning games featuring lots of double headers because they want to get a 162-game season in. You would have the regular use of on-field microphones for the players so that you can add an element of fun listening to the players as they're mic'd up. And they would not use the dugout. They would use the stands. Players and coaches and managers would be sitting in the stands so that they could be at least 6 feet apart. Lo, you're texting me about this last night. You obviously got to love it. Baseball trying to get back in May, mid-May to late May. Feasible? Do you see it happening? Do you like the plan?
Joe, I don't like it. I love the plan. I think it's play ball. That's the same play ball. And you're going to have, Joe, you're going to have the naysayers. Oh, what are we doing? What are we doing? What are we doing with playing ball? We're getting back to business, not as usual. You're practicing the safe distance, doing those things. Let me tell you something. You don't think people, families, they're already not practicing. Some of them are, you know, their family, they understand, close ones, loved ones, boyfriend. They're interacting. Now, no one, what, all this time, no one's bumped uglies. No one's done the nasty. No one's kissed. Because, come on, man. This little left turn here. Sometimes this thing is crazy, bro, that we have gotten to a point where everything's, oh, my God, it's just we got to stop everything. We're all getting ready to die. Stop believing all the hype. Yes, we have to practice safe distances. Yes, we got to do the right things. Yes, we got to continue. But you have to realize, nothing wrong with it. Just like people work from home, you're still getting paid. And guess what? You don't get necessarily going to the office, so you don't get to see everyone. You don't get to put on shows necessarily and get to show and maybe in front of people, but you're still working. You still have a job to do. I was listening to the show before us. Listen, that guys come on and say, well, this is just a money grab, and it's supposed to be the fan. No, guess what? These guys want to play baseball. People want to work. They want to do these things. If you can make it safer and do these things, yes, will it be 100%? No. But if you can make it safer and you can continue to play baseball and get these sports back going, I'm for it. I'm not against it. I saw that article last night. I was laying in bed. I said, oh, my God, this is awesome. I think Major League Baseball is okay. It's going to be okay. We're going to have some left wingers going to be like, oh, what are they doing? And a lot of people, Joe, what it is just hot air. They're just talking. They want to be a talking head. They want to take a stand. And guess what? They'll still be covering it. They'll still be getting their paycheck. They'll still be writing articles. And they'll be right back in the mix and be happy for it.
All right, Dibs, 30 teams all in Arizona, 13 stadiums starting some point in May. You'd have 2 to 3 weeks of training camp, and then it's season on. 7-inning games, lots of doubleheaders, no fans in the stands. Good move by baseball. Are you supportive? Same church as Low?
No, it's I couldn't be further from the same church. And you can go ahead and file that last little rant under Reckless Radio, because this is a situation where Arizona is not going to be ready by May to host Major League Baseball. The one thing I will agree with what Lowe said is that Major League Baseballs want to play and we all want to work. There's a number of things that I want to do. I've been making a list. Every time we have a show, I write down something else on my list of things that I want to do. I believe today is our show 18 from home. It's the 18th show we've all done. So by the end of today, I'll have 18 things on my list. So we all have things that we want to do, and baseball wants to play, and we want to watch baseball. All of that is unmutable, as we like to say on this program, but we're not ready. The country won't be ready, and certainly Arizona won't be ready. If you look at their timeline, just Arizona, on when they went to shelter in place. It was March 30th, or almost 2 weeks after the San Francisco Bay Area did. And we are in a situation where our curve is just beginning to flatten. Arizona's is not. And in fact, their peak cases for hospitalization and for ventilator use and for fatalities, it's not forecast until April 24th, which is 9 days after the country. So not only will the country not be ready by May, but Arizona is on the later end as far as their ability to eradicate this coronavirus. So I agree with Lowe that we all want this, but May is too soon. Now, if you tell me June 1st, then maybe I look at June 1st and say that might be a date where we could be ready, but certainly not in May.
All right, well, that's kind of what we're looking at, because it's going to be 2 to 3 weeks of training camp, so the season starting late May, beginning of June. Are you talking about May just to get guys into camp is also too early?
Yes.
Or are you talking about for the start of the... Okay, so
I'm
got you
I'm talking about to have 20, because they're going to expand the roster. So already we have 26-man rosters, so let's just say they make it 30, because they're going to play these cockamania seven-inning doubleheaders, which, by the way, why even bother playing baseball if you're not going to play 27 outs? That's a separate issue. Just from the safety standpoint, you're going to have a 30-man roster, 12-man coaching staff, you know, six in the PR, four umpires, broadcasters. You're still talking about hundreds of people. To me, that's just not safe.
One thing I want to throw in, Lowe, let me throw one thing in, little detail that's important here, and then I want you to jump back in. According to Passan's article, a lot of this is dependent upon a significant increase in coronavirus tests that have the ability to produce a quick turnaround time. Sources believe this will happen by early May. So from a health perspective, this entire baseball plan that's being kicked around about coming back in May, they would need to have significant increase in the ability to test, meaning have multiple tests, lots of tests ready at any drop of the hat, and you need a quick turnaround time on the results. That's important as well. Now, Lo, I'll go back to you here. I just wanted to make sure people were aware of that.
Well, I know people say, man, it's too quick, it's too hard. Let's take the disease out of the question. And let's just talk about answer one. When he's saying it's too quick of a turnaround, can't do it, it's just not feasible. It wasn't feasible for a young man to drive to Vermont and get there to go see, you know, when you think about things that we have our mind set to do. You never question the heart and the mind and desire of mankind. Some of this stuff you don't think can happen, but when you put your mind and you have put a concerted effort and that's what you want, Joe, you'll make it happen. And coming from you, Mr. Dan Dibley, you stand from a spot where I've seen you make plays. Well, didn't see, but I've heard some awesome stories about putting your mind to make something happen.
Sure.
And in Major League Baseball, put their mind collectively as a unit. And it's collectively. So they become one. They become a fist. They unite. They can make this happen.
Dibs, how are you going to respond to that as he equates baseball coming back from the coronavirus to you driving from Baltimore to Vermont to chase a girl who ended up, she was already dating someone else, let's just say.
It's
and
true.
I'm not trying to crop dust you here. I'm trying to set the story for the billions.
I appreciate you always resetting it. And Lowe's exactly right. You know, sometimes you can make a play. Sometimes you try to do what's in the best interest of yourself and the things you're trying to pursue, and sometimes it doesn't go your way. The only difference, Lowe, is I wasn't risking potentially thousands of people getting sick or potentially dying in my quest for the holiest of holy.
But it could have been a murder.
Difference.
A murder? Thank you. A
minor difference.
There could have been lives lost.
Yeah, when I was speeding through New Hampshire, heading north on whatever freeway that is.
95, most likely, for at least a part of it. I'm going to leave you here with an Albert Einstein quote. In the midst of every crisis lies great opportunity. I want you to look at the timing of what's happening around the sports world. Saturday, all the major commissioners and presidents of pro sports in this country have a conference call with President Donald Trump. Right after that, Dana White, who heads up the UFC, comes out and tells you, the fights on April 18th are on. I'm trying to buy an island so that we can have fights every week and keep moving forward. Right after that, and again, this is Monday, here comes Major League Baseball with their plan to roll things out as Adam Silver meets with Ernie Johnson last night and talks about basketball's plan to come back. Point being, that wasn't just a, hey, how you doing Saturday with the president. That was a, hey, we need to get back to business. How are we going to make this happen? You notice in Passan's article, it mentions that these plans do have the support of federal officials. Which federal officials?
Right.
Which federal officials appreciate this? Because right now it's about two things when it comes to these businesses. One, the money that's being lost. Everyone knows about that. But what people aren't realizing is the money that can be gained by being the first one back. It's not just about coming back. It's about being first and being the only product out there. If baseball is the only sport being played, every network's going to want a piece. Every streaming service is going to want a piece. Every talking head show on radio, TV, and beyond is going to be talking about the product. It could be very good for business. They're putting some of the disease and the public health issues aside. First one back, business is going to be booming. What's coming up in the game? Brought to you by Chilton Auto Body. Vinny Serrato, former general manager of the Washington Redskins, former front office executive of the San Francisco 49ers. He's doing radio in Baltimore now. We're going to bring him on to find out the challenges teams will go through with this virtual draft set to take place 16 days from today. And for the wide receiver, cornerback, offensive tackle, and defensive tackle position, where should the Niners be looking? That's coming up next. But first, while we adapt to the new normal, Chilton Auto Body is committed to helping maintain a sense of normalcy. All 12 Chilton Auto Body locations remain open to support you and will pick up and deliver your car when it's ready for the road. Schedule an appointment today at ChiltonAutoBody.com.
Now back to Joe, Low, and Dibs.
I got five on it.
On 95.7, The Game.
Today's show brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises. Baseball's plan to try and get back by late May. 30 teams in Arizona. What do you think? Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. And a reminder that you can take Joe, Low, and Dibs with you anywhere you go. Download the radio.com app today and favorite 95.7 The Game. Vinny Serrato, former front office executive for the Redskins and the 49ers, set to join us in just a moment. We're going to talk to him about a variety of NFL topics, starting with the NFL draft. It was made official yesterday, 16 days from today, April 23rd through the 25th. The draft will take place, and it will be a virtual draft. You will have all 32 teams working from home. Here's another catch. Lynch and Shanahan can't get together. In fact, nobody can get together. Everybody has to work remotely. So say the Niners have six people involved in what takes place on draft day. All six people have to work from their own homes. They need to communicate. And then they eventually need to get the pick to Roger Goodell, who's expected to be at his home, while ESPN and the NFL Network work together to put the broadcast out from Bristol. A lot of moving parts here. It's going to be uncharted territory, but we're all going to watch it. Dibs, your initial thoughts on this virtual draft moving forward. Watchability, from a watchability standpoint, better, worse, disaster? What are you thinking?
I don't want to watch it. It's disaster.
Was that me? It was crazy because I didn't feel like I was talking yet. I heard something that sounded like somebody trying to make fun of me. No, the answer is very watchable because instead of going to a war room with 12 people around a big conference table, you're going to have different rooms. We're going to cut, boom, 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 to the GM, to the assistant GM, back to the scout. It's going to be a much faster tempo.
Lo, what are you thinking? Wow. From a watchability standpoint, you going to be okay with this thing? You think it's going to work? You think we're going to have crazy tech issues causing issues everywhere?
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more, Joe.
I'm kind of shocked that Tibbs is there because everything leading up to this is like, push it back. This is a bad look for the league. Don't have free agency, push back the draft, the league's not going to be right, don't do it. And now we're finally getting somewhere with Dan. Said that free agency would be horrible, look for the NFL, got past it. Said that the draft just shouldn't push back, getting past it. The NFL, Joe, if you look at this, look at the consistency in which, yes, they diverged a little bit. Yeah, they changed a little bit. You know, Jack be nimble, Jack be quick. Jack jumped over the candlestick.
Well,
they've
put.
Been able to navigate and make things
happen. I'm not
happen.
Sure what the heck that has to do with any of this.
It no, it was, it was eloquently stated, though, and he actually got it right, so that should be applauded.
Well,
thank you.
Joe, they
yeah,
had
and that was the sufficient amount of applause required.
No, no, no. Wait, Joe, wait a minute. They've had
little
to
Jack
be,
Horner had... sat on the corner, eating his curds and whey.
See what you did, Joe?
Hey,
you got him
diddle,
started.
Diddle, the cat and the fiddle.
And the cow, he jumped over the moon.
Yeah. A little Christopher Walken there for you. Hey, diddle diddle the cat and the fiddle.
This is great.
But what you guys
started out trying to dust me.
Yeah, we're talking about this?
The NFL draft and watchability.
Wait a minute. Okay, can we bring this thing back?
Yes.
And hit the text line. That was totally in content. That wasn't out of I used it right because this coronavirus hit us, and the NFL had to be nimble. They had to be able to move. Still continue to do that. And now they had to be quick. What was coming up, the draft? They were thinking about canceling, not having draft. People can't be there. So they had to make moves, and they had to be nimble. They had to be quick. And this is a conglomerate of an organization, Joe, to show the versatility and being able to move in such a facet in which they've done. You have to give them kudos. I'm proud of the National Football League. I'm proud that I can say that I'm a brother of the National Football League. And the way that my organization has handled this has been second to none.
Thanks,
you can
Obama.
Hit him with the applause there. That Obama, his Obama is always pretty solid. We should hit him with the applause there. I got to tell you, Jack be nimble, Jack be quick, Obama, there's a lot going on. Virtually no substance. Virtually nice, no nice. Substance to the conversation.
And this
Lots
is where you make the big money, where you
got to
pick up the pieces on whatever.
Quite all right. Quite all right. I was thinking about it and how the watchability question, and I was thinking, man, this has the potential to be disastrous. And then you realize something, that the draft doesn't require a whole lot to work. They're going to have a live set in Bristol, Connecticut at ESPN. It looks like the network, the NFL Network and ESPN are going to work together on this thing because the NFL's studios are out of California and Jersey. Much stricter rules regarding shelter in place versus Bristol. Bristol, I talked to someone at ESPN the other day. They normally have somewhere between, from what I understand, 3,500 and 4,000 people on campus. During this time, they're down to the essentials. They're down to about 400 people, which is still a ton of people. But to produce everything they're producing across all their platforms and all their networks, they've gone from the thousands, maybe 4,000, down to about 400. But they're going to be able to put on a studio show, and they're going to work with the NFL Network. So if you go ahead and you have Rich Eisen up there, Daniel Jeremiah, Louis Riddick, Mel Kiper, Todd McShay. From the studio, that's going to take up most of the time anyway. You're going to throw to Goodell, who's going to be from his home. I'm sure he's going to have a nice little set put up there. He's going to announce the pick, and then the guys will break it down in a traditional studio setting. Then they'll probably bring on, via Zoom or Skype or whatever it may be, the team that made the pick, the player himself. They'll have an interview and they'll get back to work. So ultimately, I don't think this is going to be that crazy. Now, you're not going to get the great visuals that you would get from Radio City Music Hall or from Nashville last year or some of the other great cities like Philadelphia that have hosted it with all these people standing outside.
Right.
But all things considered, I don't think this has the potential to be all that bad. I think they could put on a good show. It's going to be on the studio guys to really produce. The one thing I'd throw out there, and this is not a novel concept, instead of 10 minutes in between picks, bump it to 15. People will be okay waiting. Bump it to 15. It's going to be tough to get trades worked out, which, by the way, if you like to bet the draft, we're probably going to be thinking under on the trades this year because everything taking place, guys are going to want to play it safe. I would think that if you bump it to 15 minutes, you should be fine. I don't know. Would everyone be okay with that, 10 to 15 minutes? It doesn't seem like it's that much of an imposition, all things considered, if we want the teams to be able to do their best.
Yeah, I was even thinking 12 minutes. I don't know if 15 is too long, low, but something to where you could make it so teams have a little bit more time to work through the logistics. Because even in our four-hour show, there's spots where my camera goes down or my Skype feed freezes or we have issues even in our own four-hour communication. Imagine if you're, you know, picking 17th and you're trying to be communicating throughout the entire first handful of picks. Wouldn't you want a few extra minutes low just in case some of the tech went down?
Yeah, and not just that. I think that when people are watching a draft, and especially when their team's on the clock, and they want to watch the highlights of the player that they might be potentially getting. So now you have the opportunity to get more highlights. When you watch the draft and to see the player walk up, that's not the highlight of it.
It's watching all the draft and watching the player, what he's going to bring to the team. You get to see who the guy is and what he's doing. That has not been changed or altered at all. Now you have even more time to focus on more guys for that pick to get you as a fan so much more engaged in who the final pick will be. So it's never necessarily about the draft itself is an awesome thing. People watch it for the intrigue of seeing what college player is going to help transcend their team to the next level. So this is what we're going through, to having these guys show up. That is not the cap. That's not the carrot. It's about the experience. People, the reason why when people were going to go to Vegas, it was about the experience. But it was about the experience and seeing who they're going to get. They just want to go for an event. Now the event is not necessarily, it's still an event, but now the event we can't all go to. We can't all be there. So you're not all partying. But people that watch this for the viewership, because the player that's going to transcend their player, I think, Joe, without a doubt, it won't miss a beat, won't no hiccups. This is going to still be a very good draft because people still will be able to see the player that the team will be able to draft.
The common theme that's out there is that the teams who are very good at watching tape, analyzing tape, and properly dissecting college game tape of these prospects are going to be the guys that have an advantage in this draft. And conversely, players who tend to be, quote, workout warriors, guys who have a good college career but then show up in Indy, they run blazing fast, they jump really high, they look great with the shirt off, those guys might not be rocketing up the board like they have in the past because not as much time and attention is going to be paid to those situations. Does that sound true or false, Lo? From an idea where teams like Lynch and Shanahan, are they able to properly evaluate the tape? Would they have an advantage? Do you see that being the case for this particular NFL draft?
I think so. I think people that evaluate tape is going to be now it's going to have a little bit of slight advantage. And I think that now players more than ever, Joe, with all the social networking, the things that are out there, if you're really hungry and if you really want to go to the next level, dude, if I was in this time, I would have been freaking no way in the world I wouldn't have been first round. I'd have been sending out videos showing 225, 30 something
VHS,
you know.
What it would have been, early 90s. What are you sending? Yeah, sending out Blu-ray?
I'm just talking about, Joe, I'm talking about Instagram, IG, the things that I could have been able to promote. And every single scout, you know who's the scouts. It's listed. You call the organization, see what scout. You send that stuff. Now they all got their Twitter. They got all the stuff. You just bombard them with this stuff. You leave messages. People, it's that drip. That drip. Keep dripping. You drip on people. You continue to drip on people. And just like I continue to drip. And
like a Chinese wall torture.
Think about cheese, Joe. It's a flat piece, right? All of a sudden you melt it. And what does it do? It just drip and just covers the whole amount of mass. You drip and then it just starts to cover. That's how I just engulfed Daniel Dibley. You drip. So players have the opportunity to use that opportunity to be able to still get drafted and still. So, yes, players, coaches that put in more time watching more tape, watching more players, I think they are going to have an advantage, and every team should be doing that.
Anyway. I appreciate you bringing up the cheese, because actually your forehead was a subject last night at the dinner table. We have been having a lot of family dinners during this shelter in place, but we were talking about the history and how a listener actually dubbed your forehead, how it looked like a grilled cheese sandwich, and how Joe laughed for about 25 minutes and therefore became part of the show Ten Commandments. But anyway, your forehead was a subject last night at the dinner table. Appreciate that.
It's dynamite drop in there. Lo, you had a nice breakdown of the cheese for the just covering the NFL.
Yeah, he's also saying how he drips over me like he's trying to melt away my career with his nonsense. So I couldn't let him dust me like that.
All right, former front office executive for the Niners, for the Redskins, Vinny Serrato, was supposed to join us in this segment. He's going to join us in the next one. Do the Niners have the edge when it comes to a virtual NFL draft? That plus wide receiver, corner, O-tackle, D-tackle, something else? Which direction should they go? Joe Lo and Dibs back with that next here on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe, Lo, and Dibs.
Find it strange that you would wear clothes to bed.
On 95.7, The Game.
Golden State Lumber. As an essential service, their lumber yards are going to remain open from 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday through Friday. Call 855-GSL-YARD or visit goldenstatelumber.com. Let's head out to the phones. Former front office executive for both the Washington Redskins and the San Francisco 49ers. You can check him out now. 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. The name of the show is Vinny and Haney. Vinny Serrato joining Joe, Low, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Vinny, we always appreciate the time. Thank you so much for coming on. Let's start with this. It's made official yesterday that the NFL will proceed with a virtual NFL draft 16 days from today, April 23rd through the 25th. If you were a general manager right now in the NFL, A, how would you be feeling about this? And B, how do you think it would come off?
Well, I think, number one, I think the teams, and I've said this on my show for the last few weeks, I think the teams that have veteran scouts are going to be in great shape. Like when I was in San Fran, all my scouts, I mean, I was 30 when I was the director of player personnel, and all my scouts were in their 60s. And they had contacts. They had familiarity with their areas. They knew coaches just because they'd been in those areas that they'd been in for so many years. So I think that these drafts, are, you know, especially rounds 4 to 7, a lot of it's going to be the college scouts are going to be the ones that you're going to rely a lot on. So I think organizations that have a ton of experience in the scouting department, I think, are going to win out. The organizations that have what I call a bunch of 25-25, which is 25-year-olds that make 25 grand that are basically information gatherers, that'll hurt those organizations. You know, so like the Ravens, like who I'm dealing with, they have five guys in their organization, you know, Eric DaCosta, Ozzie Newsome, Vince Newsome, they have five of them that are 20 years or more in the NFL. So they've got the experience. So I don't think it's going to be as big an issue for them. The biggest issues you got is the communication part. You know, that's going to be the biggest thing.
And as a result, are you seeing a scenario where we might see fewer trades than we normally do? And additionally, is it going to be tougher for teams to pick through different scenarios when they're on the clock?
Well, I don't – trading on the clock, I think, will be difficult. Just because, you know, how do you communicate with everybody that you need to communicate with? I said this yesterday on our show. I said, after the draft – everybody's going to be saying that the MVP of this draft was their IT people because they didn't have any issues. But the IT people are going to be, you know, so big in this draft that they're so influential. Because yesterday, you know, the Ravens had their luncheon via Zoom, you know, before the draft with the coach, GM, and the scouting director. And, I mean, there was glitches on there and stuff, you know, so – it'll be interesting to see how many practice runs that they've got to have as organizations now and how much time you've got to take out of your preparation to run through this to get ready. But, you know, it's the same for everybody. That's the thing. And you know what's kind of funny is the GMs that were complaining, you know, about wanting to move the draft back and the ones that really weren't, the guys that were complaining were the GMs that really hadn't been college scouting directors or came up through the organization as scouts. They're in management. Whereas, like Eric DaCosta, who's been, you know, a scout and everything for the last 20 years for the Ravens, he said, well, you know, we just got to find a way to take advantage of it. I'll go back to my college scouting days, and I'll watch all the players. You know, I mean, to me, that's what it is. So you'll get to do a lot more film work, you know, as general manager. And are there going to be more mistakes made? The only way I see it is with guys that weren't at the combine with physicals and stuff, because you can call the schools, you know, to get information and talk to their trainers and stuff, but you're not going to have the exact information. Plus, you're not going to have, you know, times. And everybody in scouting, they like to have the times, you know, and all the information that they can get. But you know what's going to be interesting is if this draft works out, just think of all the money that these teams spend, you know, bringing in 30 guys to visit, sending all their scouts and coaches to all these workout days. Say the draft goes smoothly and teams do well in the draft. Owners are going to say, you know, that $300,000 or $400,000, we don't need to spend that anymore. You know, so, I mean, things are going to change because of how things have been for the last, what, month or so.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think not just in the sports world, but just in the regular workforce, seeing how efficient people can be working from home. I always wanted to ask, compare and contrast a workout that a guy physically sends in, or you get to watch the guy run the four cone drill, shuttle, do all those different the minutiae of off you know, not during the game. But then if you watch the game tape, compare and contrast what you look for both and what's plus and minus in both type of workouts. One's a game tape you watch. The other is just a pure workout that you get to take a guy through. What are you looking in both of those?
Well, the thing is, you know, like the game tape, the eye in the sky doesn't lie. So, I mean, you base it all on, you know, game tape. But what you do is, okay, say, you know, you're watching a film. Okay, the guy looks fast. I mean, Pete Carroll was always big on this. When we were in meetings, you know, because say a guy, he looked like he played fast, but then he runs 4.8 and he's a corner. You know, he just doesn't, 4.8 corner in the National Football League is not going to make it. So
right. It's
kind of verifying what you see on film. Okay, I don't see a guy run real fast. What's his time? You know, I mean, just like Boykin, the Notre Dame receiver, he didn't look like he played extremely fast on film, but he ran like 4.4 at the combine last year, you know, and the Ravens took him in the third round. So just to kind of justify what you see on film. But more times than not, I think, you know, maybe less mistakes are made because more people are going to be going on the film instead of falling in love with guys. The only thing about, like, the pro days, the thing I like to see was, when I look at quarterbacks, because you want to see, you know, the arm strength and ball velocity and those things live and in person. But otherwise, I mean, you can get by. I think it'll be fine, and I think it'll be actually better, you know, because, you know, what happens is like these coaches go out and see the workouts, and, you know, then they talk amongst each other. And then they get, you know, kind of like a universal grade. Okay, all the O-line coaches see them this way. You know, when I was in San Fran, Bob McKittrick, they used to have the group, the Mushrooms. They called all the O-line coaches the Mushrooms, and they'd all go out as a group. They'd all go to these pro days of the O-line coaches, and Bob McKittrick was the only one. Bob said, why do I need to go? They all call me anyhow and tell me, you know, what they think. So then, you know, are you really getting what you see on the film, or you're getting kind of what everybody else, because what coaches don't want to be is they don't want to be wrong. So, okay, that guy sees it that way, so I don't want to really, you know, go out on a limb, where sometimes he may have been right.
Vinny Serrato, former front office executive with Joe Lowe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Vinny, I know you're up against it, so I want to ask you a quick two-parter before we say goodbye. Number one, is there any chance the Redskins at pick number two go with a quarterback? And then number two, what do you like for the Niners at 13? Would you take a wide receiver there? Would you go corner? Would you go defensive tackle? What do you like?
Well, for the Niners, you know, whoever they have rated higher on their board, they lost Sanders. You know, I mean, there's some really good receivers. So, I mean, if they could get Judy or CeCe Lamb, I think that would be pretty good for Jimmy Garoppolo and for Kyle Shanahan. I think, you know, Kyle would probably appreciate that. That reminds, you know, like the year after we won the Super Bowl in 94, we traded up to get J.J. Stokes, you know, because we felt like we needed another receiver. So if they went receiver, you know, John will make a good decision. Kyle will make a good decision. So if they need if there's a corner there, I don't know if there'll be a corner rated as high as a wide receiver there. That's the thing. Now, you know, I recruited John Lynch when I was at Notre Dame, and Kyle, I've known Kyle since he was like 8, you know, when he was running around the sidelines at San Fran when I first met Mike.
Beautiful, beautiful story. Former front office executive for both the Redskins and the Niners. Check him out now, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. Vinny Serrato with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Vinny, thank you so much for your time and your insights. Greatly appreciate it.
Stay healthy, guys.
You as well. You as well, Mr. Serrato. All right. We've got Steve Wyche, reporter, analyst, and host for the NFL Network. He's going to join us at 7:30. Something we were supposed to do yesterday, but I completely spaced out. It's the bucket of football helmets. 31 helmets remain. The Packers are out. What we do at the beginning of the week is we pick, excuse me, a mini football helmet out of this bucket. That helmet represents the team that will have some sort of player, coach, or connection to it that will be the subject matter of Does Low Know every Thursday at 8:30. We've brought back Does Low Know. He nailed it last week. We went with James Lofton from the Green Bay Packers. That was the helmet that was picked out. Low nailed it with two questions to go. So, Langford and Curly back in the studio, if you would be so kind as to pick a helmet out of the bucket and let us know which team will be our subject matter for Thursday at 8:30.
All right, gotcha. And just for the people, here is that bucket. That works.
Nice. The champ is here.
Oh, yeah. Sounded good. All sounded right, real good.
Here we go. The Baltimore Ravens. The Baltimore Ravens are picked out of the bucket.
Good little football team. That's my assessment. Good little football team they got there in Baltimore. You got to figure, Vinny just said the experienced, savvy, veteran scouting staffs and departments are going to have a run, great run through this draft. Baltimore's always been a good drafting team, and now they probably have another leg up on the competition here, Dibs.
Yeah, and it's interesting as far as Does Low Know, as far as that goes, because Low knows hundreds of current and former Ravens having played there, and I actually am pretty good friends with Ray Lewis myself, so having spent some time with him down in the Miami, the greater Miami area. So yeah, thank you very much. So basically, when it comes to Does Low Know, it's going to be a tough one for the big fella, although he's coming off a resounding success last week.
Eric Weddle used to play there, so that would not be an interesting one. I caught myself halfway through. Earl Thomas took his job last season. You played there. Are there any? There's no one still on that team now that played there when you were there. Is there? I mean, there's probably some coaches Ozzie and some of those guys.
Ozzie. No, the head coach. He was there. He coached me. He was there. The special teams coach is still there. A lot of coaches are still there. They don't do a lot of turnover. I think the last guy that I played with just retired this year. Yonda.
Marshall Yonda.
Yeah, me and Yonda played.
How about that?
So, yeah, he was part of the all-decade team that Joe was mentioning yesterday. Yeah, I had forgotten he played with Marshall.
Yeah.
Juszczyk was apparently pissed. No fullback. There was no fullback on the all-decade team this year that we talked about yesterday. Can you believe that?
He should be pissed. I mean, because he should be on that list. I can't believe there's no fullback on the all-decade team. That's terrible. He should be.
I bet he thinks of it like you, that the position just deserves recognition. I bet he would say the same thing you always say about no true fullbacks being in the Hall of Fame. It doesn't need to be you, but someone needs to be there to represent the position. I think Juszczyk would probably say the same thing. You guys seem to be a very humble breed of NFL player.
Yeah, and he's absolutely right. If you got him on the phone and we can, a personal friend, I do know Juszczyk very well. The guy's a hell of a player.
Personal friend, not a friend, a personal friend.
Yes.
What does that even mean, a personal friend? What's the difference between a friend and a personal friend?
Well, like Dibs and Ray Lewis, they're friends. You know, personal means that, you know, you can personally call them, send them information about, hey, this is what we're doing. What are you thinking about this? So it's more personal. Lies and just, okay, he's my friend. He's just kind of a friend, you know, kind of in passing, kind of that friend. I think when it's personal, I think it's a little bit more endearment.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Is it like Donnie Brasco, where it's like he's a friend of mine versus a friend of ours? One of them means you're...
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.